You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. Hello once again. It's the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. I'm John Rabin. This is episode 29. Man, I like that music. All right. I like it because it gets you started. It's like, yeah, here we go. I'm pumped. Maybe it's the music. Maybe it's the fact that I am drinking a Big Red after having iced coffee. That's not really recommended. I'm bouncing off the fucking walls. Oh, Jesus. God. Hope everybody's having a good week. Here in Austin, Texas, we have up and down weird-ass weather. I discovered that my air conditioner isn't kicking on, which is an interesting complaint to have on January 7th. I don't know. It just wasn't kicking on. Like it was like 2 days ago, and it just wasn't working. And I was like, Put this in like a work order because it's not going to matter in 24 hours. It's not going to matter in 3 hours. Like it cools down at night. And then we're back in the 50s. And I'm like, okay, it's, boy, those 4 days of winter, I tell you. So I don't know. I got back from it's Wednesday. Wednesday, I may have mentioned this. I'm off for my job Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I get three, you know, I work 4 days a week, and it's nice because, you know, I've got that block, 3 day block that I can do, get all my errands and, you know, done. And I never do them on Monday and Tuesday. I usually just do jack and shit on Monday and Tuesday. And then I put off everything until Wednesday, which is why I'm recording this podcast later. When I know I'm going to record on Wednesday, I could go to the grocery store Monday and Tuesday, but I don't because, you know, never do today what you could put off to tomorrow, obviously. And I went to the grocery store, and I also picked up some stuff for my girlfriend because she was working. She's like, hey, could you pick those things up for me? And we played a little game. I had the checkout person play a little game, go, guess which items are my girlfriend's and which are mine? Because it was this, healthy bread, apples, oranges, Totino's pizza, burritos. That's not mine. Fruit? No, I drink fruit. Smoothies only. And fruit. I'm going to cut them up. I don't like to work for my food, apparently. However, the real reason I put off this week, the reason I put off going to the grocery store till Wednesday was that I was watching my dumb things, you know, YouTube rabbit holes, just wasting time. But a lot of what I did was I was playing PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds or PUBG. As we call it, because I love that game, and I thought it would be, and it brought up, because PUBG is the original of the Battle Royale games that Fortnite ripped off successfully, because they're making a lot of, they're both making a ton of money, but Fortnite's really making a lot of money. And let me just warn you real quick, if you don't give a shit about video games, about these games, or even remotely interested, I don't know what to tell you about this episode. You may want to just, go listen to something else, because this is what I want to talk about for at least, 10 minutes maybe? So I think I'm going to, yeah, so I don't know exactly how long this is going to, this may be the whole episode. I hope I don't, I hope I come up with something else to talk about besides Fortnite, because it's, because I wanted to talk about the addiction issue and the fact that, that some parents are sending kids to rehab for Fortnite. So I'm going to go into that. So if you don't give a shit about that, move along. I'll see you next week. All right. This article is from complex.com, because there's a quote in it that I wanted to focus on in a second. But the article's called Fortnite Addiction Has Some Parents Sending Their Kids to Video Game Rehab. Parents chalking up their kids' distracted and compulsive behavior to play video games is a story as old as Atari or arcades or whatever you consider to be your stand-in symbol for gaming in its infancy. Man, pick an analogy, motherfuckers. Jesus. But apparently the pull of Fortnite is so strong that some parents have gone the very desperate route? Of sending their kids to rehab in order to get them to put their controllers/keyboards down once in a freaking while. Ooh, complex. Hip with the kids, are you? And not for the first time either. One such parent, who was recently profiled by Gadgets 360, we all know that, right? Gadgets 360? That famous whatever the hell it is? Was Michigan mother Debbie Vitney, who said her 17-year-old son Carson, it's a white kid, who logs 12 hours a day in Epic Games virtual battlefields. She says that this unhealthy time allotment has caused him to get bad grades and fall asleep in class, as most 12-hour-per-day obsessions will do. We'd made some progress in getting him to cut down his Fortnite hours and get better sleep, but he slipped back into his old habits, Vitney said. I've never seen a game that has such control over kids' minds. Laureen Mayer, who is a British behavioral specialist who works with kids battling game addiction, even went so far as to compare the game to heroin. The actual quote, I looked up her actual quote. Her actual quote is, "This game is like heroin. Once you are hooked, it's hard to get unhooked." Right. Anyway, yes. So we even went so far as to compare the game to heroin, which is actually not the first time health experts have made this connection. Though you probably wouldn't know for sure unless you played both Fortnite and did heroin. All right. Well, let me weigh in. Since I play PUBG, I played Battle Royale games, and I've done heroin. So as the expert in this field on those two things, on doing both those two things, let me answer that. Is Fortnite like heroin? No. The end. It's not. You don't get an infection because you're using dirty controllers or you didn't clean your keyboard before playing. You didn't buy a brand new keyboard every time you want to play. You don't rush out to a shitty part of town and buy Fortnite from somebody who looks like they could kill you just for $50. Also, heroin's way more fun at the beginning. It's fine. It's, you know, there's a reason that it's addictive. So no, it's not like it. I understand the hyperbole. And then the last paragraph that I want to read. While such comparisons may seem alarmist, it is. Gadgets 360 reports that the game has been cited in more than 200 petitions as the reason for broken marriages in a survey compiled by an online UK divorce service. In fact, the crazy addiction that people can develop to Fortnite can lead to a number of interesting narratives, from a distance anyway, such as the one about the gamer who continued to play even as a tornado rolled through his neighborhood. Wow. I could see that, though. You know, got a good match, and it's like, that's absolutely insane. Yeah. I'm not saying there isn't a problem, but the idea, it's like everybody who reads stuff like that, their very first reaction is, wow, what shitty parents. Like when you're sending them to rehab, you can't tell me that if you threw out the game system and the game, all right, and then, you know, every time, let's say the kid, every time the kid fucks up and doesn't listen to him and plays too much or whatever, they throw it out. Even if you threw out the system, then bought the system the next week, then threw that system out, like pawn it, like put it in the pawn shop and then get it back, like every time the kid got in trouble, that's got to be way less money than sending them to a 4-week rehab. 4 weeks. That's a 30-day rehab for video gaming. That's insane to me. But I don't know, part of it, but that's the thing, is that I kind of get this, because you take them out of your, in the same way that rehab for like drugs, you take them out of their patterns, their same thing, and you put them somewhere where they, in a controlled environment where they've got no access, and you try to like reacclimate them to a non-digital world, that kind of shit. I can totally see that, but that's insane. That's a, man, that is a waste of goddamn money. That's, I, can you imagine that kind of, how angry does that make you as you struggle month to month to pay your bills and save money and try to make a better life for yourself? And these motherfuckers are throwing away money on a video game rehab camp because they can't tell their kids no, because they can't figure out, you know. And it's like, well, who are you to judge? Do you have kids? No, because I don't want them doing that shit. Because I'd be a terrible parent. But yeah, so you're right. No, you're right about that. You know, walk a mile in your shoes. Well, I would violently destroy the system if they wouldn't listen to me. Which would probably damage them their psychology might be a little damaged. But their grades would improve, and that's all that matters, apparently. It's unbelievable. It's not as bad as heroin. There's no physical withdrawals to stop playing video games. There's not. You can be mad, you can be thinking about it, but you're not gonna shit yourself and constantly throw up and not be able to get out of bed for 2.5 days. So fuck you, it's not like heroin. God damn. That person's a psychologist. That person had a degree. Crazy. Now let me tell. Okay, now that aside, that ridiculousness aside, about trying to compare video game addiction to drugs, and you know there are similarities. It's not as life threatening. You know, and people that destroy their own lives to. Because they're going for a higher rank, for extra kills, extra wins, game wins, and stuff like that. Look, you can't save everybody. You know, like when adults do this, you know what? That's their choice. I don't know. Also, is the, you know, people getting divorced because too much Fortnite? Was that really that strong of a marriage to begin with? Was this going to last if a video game is the thing that ended it? It was going to be something. I don't know. You can't save everybody. But I will. But all that aside, I will, from personal experience, as a, you know, with a heavy addictive personality, let me describe what, you know, what I've done, what's happened to me by playing PUBG. the thing about it is that I will play the game and yeah, I'll put off doing stuff. Maybe I won't work out that day. You know, maybe I go, I won't do that. Nah, I'm not going to do the dishes right now. I'll put it off. Because you're like, oh, let me play one more game. Because the whole idea, if you've never heard of a battle royale game, it's 100 players, up to 100 players, somewhere between 95 to 100. You get dropped onto this map, and you know you drop in, and there's all these buildings everywhere, and you run around, and you try to collect weapons and attachments and accessories for the weapon, you know, like in bulletproof vest, helmets, backpacks or whatever, and you know, and then after a few minutes, there's a circle somewhere on the map that like starts really big, and then it, you know, you've got to get in within this circle, or you know, then it starts coming in, and you experience damage if you're behind the circle, so it forces people to go further and further in. You know, like the Hunger Games? Yes, like the Hunger Games. So you go, you're forced in down, you know, till there can be, you know, till you're down to the last person. That's the whole thing. You try to kill everybody and then you be the last person. And you get scores for, in PUBG, you get scores for survival and points for kills, points for damage, all that kind of shit. So that's what the game is. And the thing about it is that it's a timed game. The thing I like about it is that you don't, it's one game, so if you fuck up or whatever, you didn't invest a whole bunch of time. You just, I mean, it's over, and you're like, well, that was, you know, I mean, now that's also really, really frustrating, especially if you get some kick-ass guns, and you set up your gear, and you're like, oh, man, this is, you know, I'm all set up, and then somebody snipes you because you weren't paying attention, and then you're like, well, and the end, start all over. So it... The addictive part is you're like going, fuck, I almost had that thing. Let me play another one. So you start another one right away. Or you do really well and if that was fun, I want to play another one. So you play another one. And that's, next thing you know, you've been on it for 2 hours, sometimes three, you know, and then it's longer and longer. And I have, when I realized, you know, because I... Knowing who I am and my addictive personality and how this goddamn game makes me feel sometimes, like I knowingly set time limits for myself. Like at a certain point, I can quit before, but at 3 o'clock today, let's say, you know, all right, I got to cut, you know, I will stop. I got to go, then I'll go do what I need to go do. Run my errands, go do this, do that. And then if I get that done in time, you know, go work out. And then if I get that done in time, then I can come back and play again. It's almost like a motivation to get your shit together. But the thing about it is that when I cut it off to go do stuff, I can actually feel like grumbling in my head about it. It's like, I don't want to let it go. You know, and you grumble and then I go out the door and I'm like, I can do this stuff. But you know what? After a couple of minutes, then it goes away. And I think that's the big issue is people don't want, you know, they can't let it go. Even though if you separate long enough, it goes away. The whole, I got to get back on there. And you just go, that's fine. It's like your mindset finally just lets go of that feeling. So I get it that there is that it's very addictive, and I totally, and I can feel it. I can feel it going, play some more. But, you know, but I'll say this about it because like a day last week, like I didn't have anything to do. And I had like several hours and I was playing like for a few hours. And then like after I played, it came to a point that I'm like going, all right, I'm burnt out. And I stopped and went and did something else. So that's slightly different also from drugs, because I've never done drugs and gone, I'm tired of it, and put it away. You know, I wanted to when it was bad, but, you know, physical withdrawals, the necessity, you got to go back. And since there's no physical withdrawals for playing video games, it's not the same goddamn thing. It can be a problem, but, you know, I guess that's where parenting comes in, And if you're an adult that has a problem with it, I don't know. Willpower? Get your shit together? You can't just, I don't know, that's really, really weak-willed to just say, you know, there's nothing that I can do. I got to play. It's not, that frustrates me so bad that you're throwing in, you know, people with substance abuse addictions, you know, that it's like that. It's not like that. It's, you know, it's in the same genre, but it's not the same thing. And I'll tell you, wow, I have talked about this too long. That's fine. But I will tell you this. The biggest problem with Fortnite, this is what I'm going to end on for this week about this thing. The biggest problem with Fortnite, in my opinion, that people are not talking about, because they're focusing on this other, you know, the addiction and that sort of, but they're not talking about the real problem. And the real problem with Fortnite is this. It teaches you poor combat awareness skills. Yeah. Chew on that. Let me explain. Okay, so here's the deal about it. Because in Fortnite, like, the thing it really focuses on is, you know, how you can buy all these, you know, skins and all this thing, you know, outfits, and you can really customize your character and it has like dance moves, like when you do a kill and like, yeah, because that's how it is in the real world. When you take out an opponent, you got to dance on their body. And that's the thing. I've got to make, you know, that's what I got to say about PUBG. In PUBG, you can't fucking dance after you kill somebody because you don't have time. Let's say you take out somebody who's trying to take you out. You can't sit there and go, yeah, high five the air, you know, raise the roof. Look how badass I am. There's 97 more motherfuckers out there. You got to duck and cover, man. They're going to kill you. You're going to get shot going, yeah. No, you got to keep moving. You got to go through their things to see if they picked up some, you know, med kits or adrenaline or something that can help you. You know, painkillers. Yeah, there's painkillers in the game. But not like, you know, yeah. No, it like helps you regenerate health. It's fine. But you got to keep going. You got to look for attachments. You got to find, you know. And that's the thing, is that a big component of Fortnite is building things. Like, you can build like a tower and like a catapult and like different, like you're building. Like, how the fuck do you have time to build when there's somebody out there with a sniper rifle? Like, that doesn't make, hang on, don't shoot me. I'm putting a wall together. Hold on, this roof's got to come up. Don't shoot me yet. Keep that grenade. Hang on. I have to put the shingles on the roof first. Like, that doesn't make any sense. In PUBG, you don't build shit. You're too busy running around looking for a compensator for your fucking gun so that it doesn't kick up or sideways every time you shoot it, because it's that, because the recoil's so powerful. That makes more sense to me. And it's way more fun, and it's way more grounded in you know, and I use the term loosely, reality. But that's what I'm saying, is Fortnite's teaching you the wrong way to do combat. And I think that's unhealthy for some reason. Anyway, that's really a personal preference, I think. But it's just, yeah, the game looks more realistic in PUBG. In Fortnite, it looks like you're watching characters from cartoons on the CW coming after you. You know, Disney Channel cartoons are all like, hey, I've got an M16. It's weird. It's fucking weird. It's like the cartoon world, you know, like those goddamn games like Farmville and stuff. It looks like you're doing combat in Farmville, and it doesn't make any sense to me. And I don't know why people are addicted to that stupid game. It's dumb. You should be addicted to PUBG. This is my point. The point for this whole episode is you should not be addicted to Fortnite. You should be addicted to PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. That was the original game anyway. Fortnite ripped them off. OG, baby, you go for the original. Tell your friends they should be addicted to PUBG. Etc. accept no substitution. Well, that's it for this week. Yeah, 25 minutes on the video game. No, I talked about grocery store. But yeah, over 20 minutes on the subject, the very important subject of Fortnite. But hope you guys enjoyed it. You know, I will say one more thing, though. It, and this is only coming from, you know, this subject that really means something to me, obviously, that I have a personal, that a vested interest in the opioid crisis. And that is, it's interesting that there, you know, the opioid crisis, you know, is not in the news right now. Instead, what is in the news is the government partial shutdown and trying to get $5.6 billion for the wall. It'd be interesting to ask for $5.6 billion to fight the opioid crisis. That would have been interesting. There's way more people dying. There's way more people being affected in this country by the by opioid addiction versus illegal immigration. But no, there's no funding. That'd be nice though, wouldn't it? We can dream. Ah, boy, I really know how to bring us down at the end. But yeah, no, that was just something I was thinking about. It just kind of sucks. Maybe one day, after we got to wait for a celebrity to die or something, or somebody with money, you know what? Somebody with money has to have somebody with money and power has to have somebody close to them die before this gets right back in the news again. Because it's not in the news right now. It's almost like, it's like anything else. It's like, well, we didn't hear about it. I guess we fixed it. Job done. But nah, it's coming back. Opioid crisis, or just drug addiction crisis in general, because meth is on the rise, as I've mentioned before. Hopefully we'll see more in the news. We'll see next week. If I, I'll be checking the news, and if some shit comes out, I'll let you know. But thanks for joining me this week. This is the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. I am still sober, and I'm still John Rabin. I'll see you next week.